Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast, as always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. I'm Mark Daly, I'm your host. Welcome back for another race report, and once again it was Lewis Hamilton winning, as he's done on several occasions this year so far. And let's just run down the top 10 at the Spanish Grand Prix that went earlier today in Barcelona. As I said, Lewis Hamilton winning the 66-lap race, followed home by Max Verstappen. Valtteri Bottas rounded out the podium in the second Mercedes. Lance Stroll and Sergio Perez, fourth and fifth for the pink Mercedes, a.k.a. the Racing Points. Then you had Carlos Sainz in P6. Sebastian Vettel, my driver of the day, honestly, came home in seventh, finished up four places higher than he qualified, and a bit of a gutsy strategy to run this race, so good for Sebastian. Not a great one. Obviously, he wants to be much higher up on that, but considering how awful Ferrari has been this year, I think you got to take some positive when you can get it. More on that in a little bit. Anyways, P8 was Alex Albon in the second Red Bull. Ninth was Pierre Gasly in the AlphaTauri. And 10th, Lando Norris rounding out the top 10 in the second McLaren. So going over to the Drivers' Championship, Lewis Hamilton, 132 points on top of Max Verstappen, solidifying to an extent his second place, 95 points for the Dutchman. Valtteri Bottas in third place in the World Championship, not that far behind Max on 89 points, only 6 points adrift. Charles Leclerc, awful race for him, electrical problem forced him out, and then retired because of loose seat belts, or I think maybe that's one of the reasons that they used, but yeah, not a good race for Charles. And then Lance Stroll, if you can believe it, the Canadian, is fifth currently in the World Championship with 40 points, just 5 points adrift of Charles Leclerc. So there you go. Anyway, so let's talk about the race itself. There really wasn't too much action really going on. It was pretty obvious that after it got going, that this was going to be Lewis Hamilton's race. I mean, it was very interesting, I thought. Max Verstappen, he held close throughout the opening part of the race and then faded as the race went on. And it really was Lewis's race to lose. And I suppose it was, from that point of view, I think it was a little bit disappointing after the the problems we saw Mercedes having last week at Silverstone for the 70th anniversary Grand Prix, what the tires blistering and causing all sorts of havoc, that perhaps we were expecting, maybe some of us were at any rate to see a repeat of that. But you know, even though they talked about it, I guess they know this track better than any other. I mean, these guys drive there, or they've driven there so many times for testing and races. I think that they could literally drive around this track with their eyes closed and still be able to complete the entire race distance. But yeah, I mean, like I was saying on the regular show just a couple of days ago, that I think the one unexpected variable running at this Grand Prix that might bring about a similar issue that we saw last week with the blistering tires for the Mercedes was that the fact that because of the shutdown we had and the delay to the start of the season moved Barcelona from the middle of May to the middle of August. And well, I think the track temperature at one point in the race was about 48 degrees Celsius, so pretty warm. I think air temperature was about 29-30 degrees Celsius, so a fairly warm day, and it just didn't pan out that way. Anyways, let's talk a little bit now what the race winner had to say. Lewis said that he felt he was in a daze as he literally ground everybody into the pavement. And I mean, he was over 20 seconds ahead of Max by the time he crossed the finish line. So his lead in the championship is now almost 40 points, 37 points to be exact. in Formula One with 156 podiums to his name. Lewis had to say after the race, quote, "I was just in a daze out there. I was in a different zone. I felt really good. Fantastic effort from the team, but God, it felt good out there today. It was a real surprise because we had this problem with the tires. Management was very, very good. That's ultimately our understanding of what happened last week that we brought into this weekend and inevitably enabled us to do what we did today. I didn't even know it was at the last lap at the end. That's how zoned in I was. I was ready to keep going," end quote. So there you go. And there's just a confirmation that I see here that the track temperature did reach 50 degrees centigrade during the race, which was several degrees warmer than last week. So that really, it just goes to show you that when it comes to Mercedes, that that quite often when they run into these setbacks and a lot of these issues, that they do find a way to persevere and push through these things and come out stronger on the other side. Although I did remember seeing one of those super slow-mo angles on the car, Lewis's car, at one point during the race. I think I don't remember exactly what lap it was. I seem to recall it was probably about a third, maybe halfway through the race, and I noticed that there, that his right rear tire, I think he was running softs at the time, could be wrong, I did notice that they were marking up a little bit on the outer side of that right rear tire. Ultimately, it wasn't an issue, and the tires coming off of those W11s today looked a lot better than last week. I mean, they really were miles ahead, and a little bit disappointing, I think, for Max Verstappen as well, because he was so good last week. He had the advantage over the two Mercedes cars, and I mean, you just fast forward a week, that just the difference that the tires looked coming off the Mercedes cars was a world of a difference compared to a week ago. But I mean, last week at Silverstone, I mean, Max's tires, they were coming off and looking really good, but the tires coming off the two Mercedes cars last week just looked really nasty. I mean, blistered and just really, really rough looking, but they found a way to push through it. Anyways, Valtteri Bottas is admitting that that the championship is now drifting away. So he's now 43 points behind his teammates, and as I said off the top of the show, he's 6 points behind Max Verstappen, which, you know, that is doable, but you don't race in Formula One to say, "I hope I finish runner up to Lewis Hamilton. I want to win the damn thing." But it is going to be pretty tough for anybody to catch Lewis Hamilton. Well, I think Max obviously hoping that that he can catch up to Lewis, but 43 points, that is a real big one. I mean, go back to 2016, Nico Rosberg was in a similar advantage after it was four races, because remember that year Lewis got off to a bit of a rough start. And Nico won the first four races of that season. And when Lewis struggled, he opened up a gap too, which I believe at its biggest point was also 43 points. And Lewis, although he came very, very close and could have won it at that final race of the year at Abu Dhabi, you know, just ultimately there was just it was too much to ask. And I think that that year, the one crucial result that really put the nail in the coffin in Lewis's fight back to try and win the championship and steal it away from Nico Rosberg, is when his engine lad let go at the Malaysian Grand Prix. Anyways, let's get back to Valtteri Bottas. Again, a bad start. He was second behind his teammate, and well, what do you say? I mean, obviously he was on the inside of the track compared to where Lewis was on pole. There was more rubber down on there. I think that obviously had a little bit to do, but I mean, he lost a couple of places right off the start again, very similar to what happened in Hungary a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that time that was because he mistimed the start and was looking at some of the indicators on his dashboard rather than the red lights on the gantry over start finish line, and just mistimed it. But the point is that in both races he lost several points, or sorry, several positions off of the start, and at that point he was just going to be just fighting to catch up, which is just impossible, especially on a track like Barcelona, where you don't typically see a lot of overtaking. And You know, it really comes down to, track position and also, a little bit of luck on pit stops at times. But anyway, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. I got some stats comparing Lewis Hamilton's teammates over recent years. We'll talk about that after the break. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
While sports can bring us so much joy, it can also bring us a lot of unwanted stress. And that stress can make it difficult to concentrate, relax, and get decent sleep. Sunday Scaries was launched in 2017 by two best friends and business partners, Bo Schmidt and Mike Sill. They operated a full-service bar with 50 employees and were always exhausted. They tried all kinds of products, but they didn't work. Then they started experimenting with CBD. They loved the effects and regained control of their days and nights, but they wanted better CBD products. So what they did for themselves was specially formulate CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that were super consumable, easy to take on the go, and effective. Long story short, their specially formulated CBD products and vitamins helped relieve the overwhelming angst they felt on a daily basis. So in July 2017, they named the company Sunday Scaries and began sharing their products with friends and launched their online store at SundayScaries.com. With tens of thousands of customers, monthly subscribers, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Sunday Scaries has always been on a mission to transform a worrisome nation into a chill one. And right now, we have a bonus for you. Get 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME. Again, 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME.
Hey guys, this is Greg Peterson, host of the podcast Hoopin' with Hoops. Despite the fact that college basketball is in the offseason, it's never too early to get a jump start on taking a look at these teams because there is now 357 of them for the upcoming 2020-2021 college basketball season. I'm going to give you guys a deep dive on every last one of them, keep up with all the transfers in college basketball, and so much more. You are able to subscribe to Hoopin' with Hoops on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. And yes, sticking with Valtteri Bottas, just to finish that thought from before the break there, he had to say about his start at the Spanish Grand Prix, quote, "Initial analysis is just a bad start. I think the initial getaway from the line was just not quite good enough, and also my reaction time could have been a bit better. So it's just not the perfect start when it was needed. And on this track, if the guys behind you get a tow from you and you don't get the tow, if your start is not better, you pay the price. So that's it. Initially disappointed, of course, it's far from ideal. I have no clue actually what the points difference is, but it's way too big. And I can again see the championship drifting away. So we'll take a couple of days to look at everything and see what went wrong and again move on. But obviously at this point, very disappointing. But yes, I know I'll always bounce back. But no doubt in Spa, as always, I'll be in full mental health, giving everything I have. But for now, I just want to be somewhere else than here right now," end quote. So obviously he's being realistic and somewhat a little bit defeatist, but well, can you really blame him though? And as much as I respect Valtteri Bottas, I don't think you can really honestly say that that he's going to be a serious rival to Lewis Hamilton. I mean, break it down. So Lewis Hamilton was teammates with Nico Rosberg at Mercedes. We're just going to stick now with the turbo hybrid era. Okay. So they were teammates at 2014, 2015, 2016, Lewis winning those two seasons. Nico Rosberg, of course, winning world championship in 2016. After he retired, Bottas came in 2017, has been on a 1-year contract, repeatedly ever since. So Lewis has been teammates with these guys for three full seasons each. Obviously, you're going to have four with Valtteri Bottas by the time this season is over. But after the end of the Hamilton-Rosberg partnership at Mercedes, between the two of them, Lewis Hamilton over that time frame from 2014 to 2016 won 31 races. He won 11 in 2014 and then 10 in 10 and 15 and 16. Nico Rosberg won 5, 6, and then 9 over the same time frame. So the grand total, Lewis Hamilton in 2014 to 2016, 31 race victories compared to 20 for Nico Rosberg. Then you look at the past 3 years when Hamilton's been partnered with Valtteri Bottas. Bottas has won 7 Grand Prix. That's a phenomenal achievement, considering there are not very many people on the face of the planet that have ever won a Grand Prix. So, I mean, very good for Valtteri Bottas. But you look at Lewis Hamilton over the course of 2017 to 2019. won another 31 Grand Prix. So 62 race wins for Lewis Hamilton since 2014. And then you break it down. Bottas won 3 in 2017, nothing in 2018, and then 4 races last year. I mean, that's very good. I mean, let's be fair. But that's not going to win you a world championship, especially if you're trying to beat Lewis Hamilton, who won 9, 11, and then 11 races again last year. So the point is that although I'm not comparing Nico Rosberg to Lewis Hamilton, I'm just making the point that Nico Rosberg won a lot more races in that same time frame, 3-year span, than I'm comparing him to Valtteri Bottas. More than double. And the thing was that he was able to push Lewis a lot harder, a lot more regularly, won a world championship. And of course, we all know how bad that relationship was between those two guys. And I think that the point I'm trying to make is that from Mercedes' point of view, Valtteri Bottas is the perfect teammate to Lewis Hamilton. He's the perfect guy to have at Mercedes because he's going to get you a lot of points. He's going to get a lot of podiums. You know he's going to win. He's good for a couple or several race wins a season. I mean, we'll take 2018 out of the mix at the moment as a bit of an outlier. I mean, he's already won a race this year. He might win another race or two maybe this year. Depends, you know, how dominant his teammate is. But the point is that most days, most Sundays, most race days, he's not going to be a match for Lewis Hamilton as regularly as, say, Nico Rosberg was. He was just able to push Lewis Hamilton a little bit more. And, you know, the bonus for Lewis Hamilton is he doesn't have a guy getting under his skin like that Nico Rosberg did. Toto Wolff doesn't have to worry about, you know, his superstar, the multiple world championship winning driver getting into fisticuffs and shenanigans with his teammate on the track. I mean, I could not imagine a situation unfolding between Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton like we saw with Lewis and Nico at, say, Austria, Spain, Spa. I mean, you know, take all these different different incidents that happened between the two of them. I mean, it's no wonder there was a toxic relationship and atmosphere in the team at that time. But, you know, you don't have that with Valtteri Bottas. I mean, the thing is, he's going to help the team win the Constructors' Championship. He's going to help them win a ton of points. But let's be honest. I mean, unless Lewis really, he starts to slide, you know, he's just not as dominant as he is now. I mean, he's just not really going to be seriously pushed by Valtteri Bottas most weekends. I mean, but, you know, in fairness, Bottas has had his moments, but I don't really expect to see him, you know, fighting and closing that gap to him. I mean, the thing is, the times that you see Lewis Hamilton have a bad weekend, like we saw at the Austrian Grand Prix at the start of this year, those times and those incidents are extremely rare. I mean, not only is Lewis an extremely good racing driver, I mean, he's obviously one of the best ever. I mean, we've talked about that. Where he sort of finishes up, I mean, I think ultimately you have to reserve judgment until he finally decides to call it a career. But I mean, he's definitely one of the best ever. There's no doubt about it. And he's just flawless. I mean, the times that he makes mistakes are far and few between. And the thing is, I mean, if Bottas was seriously going to contend and fight Lewis Hamilton for the world championship this year, he's already made too many mistakes. That bad start at the Hungarian Grand Prix, the bad start today. And of course, you know, at Silverstone over the course of those two races, the issues he had with his tires, the strategy that we saw that the team decided to leave Lewis out, which ultimately, or longer, based on what they saw after the tires came off of Valtteri's car. Of course, he might feel a bit peeved about that, but ultimately, I guess, you know, that's an internal matter down to the team. And he is the number two driver. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Lewis Hamilton's always going to get the benefit of the call, the benefit of the decisions and everything like that, just because he is Lewis Hamilton. He's the number one driver. He's going to tie Michael Schumacher's record for world championships this season, unless something bizarre happens and Lewis goes completely off the boil and he throws his championship away, which is not going to happen. It just just isn't going to happen. But the point is, I mean, Bottas has already made too many mistakes. He's dropped too many points, and he's just not going to be able to close that gap. I mean, sorry to say that, Valtteri, but that's just the way it is. And until Lewis, like I say, he somehow loses that edge and is just becomes, you know, just is not as fast as he is now, or Bottas manages to kick it up a gear, just can't see it happening. But anyways, that's just my two cents. Anyways, moving over to Max Verstappen now. So he had issues, of course, coming into this race. He had to to switch back to a previously used engine because and a turbo and MGUH and K units. And there were actually no penalties associated with those changes, which was good for Max. But you know, there was some. He just didn't have the top end power or the speed, but, you know, sadly, I think that it was just a little bit too much to hope for that, that he might be able to push the Lewis Hamilton, excuse me, a little bit I think it was just too much to hope for this week. Anyways, a spokesman for Red Bull told motorsport.com after Saturday, quote, after spotting an anomaly on the data from the Max's PU, we decided we best to change it to a previously used PU for the race, and we were granted permission to do so by the FIA. End quote. So, you know, that obviously I think may have compromised Max to a little bit, but again, today, I mean, when Lewis admits that he's just in the zone and it was, you know, things were just going that the way that they were, it would have taken something really special from Max Verstappen. And we just know right now that that the W11 is just better than everyone else. We've seen its weaknesses, obviously, over the course of a couple of weekends at Silverstone, but by and far, most situations, most race conditions, it is still going to be the best car. But, you know, it is interesting, though, just to see that, you know, how much of a difference there is between Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. I mean, if Hamilton was out of the mix today, that race would have been between Bottas and Max would have come out on top. But when you have a driver as good as Lewis Hamilton, it's in the zone like he was, who's really going to be there to catch him? And sadly, it wasn't Max. Anyways, I'm just going to take another quick break here on the Overtime Media Network, so don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, Greg Peterson here with the Baseball Betting Podcast. As we know, the MLB season is back in our lives. It's going to be a 60-game sprint unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And I'm going to be giving you picks every single day, 7 days a week with Major League Baseball. We're also going to be keeping up with the KBO as well. If you like baseball and you like being able to make some money, subscribe to the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, welcome back to the podcast. It is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. So just sticking quickly now with Max Verstappen. So he had after a couple of things to say after the race, just explaining his bit of a tirade, a little tantrum on the radio. And he had to say that it was prompted by what he called him massively struggling to keep his tires going towards the end of his his first stint in the race. He was able to eventually finish on the podium in second, which was his fifth in the row, which is really, really good. Again, you know, split the two Mercedes cars. He was really good. Like you could tell, like during the beginning of the race there, he was within a couple of seconds of Lewis Hamilton, but I mean, he had to drop back because of course that was just too close. And he was holding there steady for quite a while at about 3.5 to 4 seconds. I mean, just close, but not too close, right? But then he started dropping further back. It got to about 8, got to about 10. I think it was at about 11 when he went in for his pit stop. When he got to about an 8-second gap, he was heard over race radio telling his engineer that they should focus on their race rather than trying to catch Lewis. And then he went on to say that that he felt that they weren't as fast as the Mercedes on the soft tires. So anyways, Max went on to say that he wanted to go into the pit for new tires. And he said, quote, "You want me to repeat a bit again? These effing tires are dead," end quote. So a little bit colorful language. But Max said after the race that it was important for the team not to, to get distracted by what Hamilton and Bottas were doing at that point in the race. Anyways, Max had to say, quote, "At the end of the day, you can't control what they're doing. The only thing you can control is what we do. So we just have to make sure that what we did was the fastest possible strategy for us. I wanted to pit and they didn't call me in. So I was massively struggling on the tires. I lost quite a bit of lap time over the last two laps. I already said on the radio, I don't care if you pit me behind the racing points because I would pass them easily anyways because we are faster, especially on the new tires." That was the conversation, end quotes. Well, you know, Max always good for a little bit of, you know, he calls a spade a spade. He certainly is not, shy of voicing his opinions when he needs to do so. Anyway, so, like I said off the top of the show, Sebastian Vettel, I think he was voted by the viewers as the driver of the day, and I think he should have done. I mean, obviously, Seb, very disappointing, qualified only in 11th, and he's just really, really having a tough, tough year. And, you know, it's not fun to watch. When you see a guy that was challenging for race victories not all that long ago, just to see how they've really fallen off of the cliff. But, I mean... you look today, the only car that didn't finish this race was his teammate, Charles Leclerc. I mean, this car is just not there. I mean, it is just, it's a real lemon. It's just a terrible, terrible car, and really makes you wonder why, you know, like obviously they had issues with that high downforce model that they went with last year, which, you know, they were going to change. Then there was all this controversy with the power unit, and then this secret agreement that he came to the FIA, and they come into this season that much slower than anyone else. So it really makes you wonder what, you know, the FIA found. And, you know, you had people like, you know, Max Verstappen again, you know, somebody very vocal and pointed and not afraid to speak their mind. I mean, Max said a couple times last year that Ferrari were flat out cheating when it came to what they were doing with their power units. And so it really makes you wonder why they're, you know, like what the lack of, you know, the problem is and lack of speed that they have. Is it the, you know, the aerodynamics on the car? Is it the engine? Is it both? And it really makes you wonder. Anyways, Sebastian, he had to say that there was nothing to lose with the one-stop pit stop strategy that they went for. And he gained, you know, four places. He got to seventh. Obviously, if you're Sebastian Vettel, you want to be finishing a lot higher than that. But I think that, you know, it really worked, you know, for them. And I think you got to give them, you know, you got to give them props for that. Anyways, Seb had to say after the race, quote, "It was, it's quite simple. We didn't have anything to lose. We were P11, and I think we were trying to offset until the end of the race. So obviously we were catching the cars in front. They pitted for their second stop, but I was not in a rush to catch them and managing the tires. Then I was told to push, which I did, and I was told to make it to the end or asked if I could make it to the end. I said, well, you could have asked for that three laps before because I asked a couple of times, what's the target? How long do we want to go so I could look after my tires? I said, we tried to make it. The last five laps were really, really difficult. Obviously, it helped that we got lapped, to be honest. Not always the case, but today it was. We obviously took that risk because we had nothing to lose, and it did pay off, but it wasn't the plan before the race to do close to 40 laps on the softer tire," end quote. So that is actually amazing. I mean, he pitted on lap 29 for soft tires. I mean, it's a 66-lap race. So, yeah, you know, certainly, you know, very, very good. I mean, Carlos Sainz, you know, passed him pretty easy. But, I mean, he managed to stay in the front of some other guys like Danny Ricciardo, Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon. And, you know, I think it's a good result for Sebastian Vettel. I mean, obviously, it's not a podium. It's not a victory. But it's something. It's something to feel good about in a season that has had not very many bright moments, you know, for the four-time world champion. Anyways, Vettel did also explain why he was frustrated and during the race, and it's kind of I guess there was a lot of frustration going around, not just with Max Verstappen, but also with Vettel, because he went on to explain why he was cursing at his at his engineer during the race. His engineer asked him, quote, "What do you think about going to the end with these tires?" And Seb's initial response, which was bleeped out and censored, was, "Ah, for F's sakes, I asked you this before." End quote. Anyways, after the race, Seb, like I was saying just before that, the previous quote I had, that he was told to push several laps earlier, and then which kind of went against the logic of the one stop strategy. So, anyways, interesting. It's always kind of funny to hear some of these things, and sometimes I really wish that we could get more of the race radio. I know sometimes it gets filtered out, and it would really be cool to get access to each and every radio feed for all the drivers, because I'm sure, like I say, we're missing out on quite a bit. Anyways, Matteo Binotto, team principal at Ferrari, says that he is surprised that there have been stories that there's tension between himself and Ferrari and Sebastian Vettel. And this has been going on for a little bit, and you have to kind of wonder, why there shouldn't be. I mean, his car hasn't been any good, and he's been quite a bit off the pace, even compared to his own teammate. Binotto told Sky Sports Italia, quote, "We prefer to talk openly. Others don't, perhaps, as so not to reveal their intentions. We think it's the right way, even if we ask questions on both sides. Looking at the last races, the choices have made have proved to be correct. So we welcome the discussion and the question marks. For us, they are open dialogues that lead us to make the right choice." And then when he went on talked about the relationship with Vettel, he said, quote, "I do not notice what you're mentioning. At least from our side, we've not changed a different type of tone or what else. So I'm quite surprised it's not the case," end quote. So, take it at that, but kind of makes you wonder. I mean, people are going to speculate about that. I mean, when there's, that many problems and that many issues, I think it's just natural that it's going to pop up from time to time. And Sebastian Vettel also went on to say that he would actually speak up if he felt that he wasn't being treated fairly at Ferrari, or if they were really starting to favor Charles Leclerc. I mean, Charles is going to be the number one driver there, and he's obviously the rock star in the air. Well, the heir now, not really the heir apparent, but anyways, Seb was talking about it, he was asked, if he was getting equal treatment with his teammate, and he said, quote, "At the moment, I would think so. If not, I would say otherwise. I'm not trying to get into any of this. I'm just trying to do my job. Obviously, at the moment, it's not plain sailing and all calm. It's a rather rough sea, but it is what it is. I have to do the best I can, which is staying focused and waking up in the morning and trying to do the best I can and being fairly open-minded and trying to tackle it. I didn't have great weekends at Silverstone, normally a track I really like. I didn't get into the great feeling with the car and was able to extract as much as Charles for whatever reasons. There's not much I can do other than doing my job and working together with the guys around my and my car to make sure we get the best package together." End quote. So there you go. Anyways, I mean, you just got to kind of read between the lines, but I think that if there was a lot more that maybe there would be a little bit more diplomatic, but about it, but certainly Binotto and Vettel are, shrugging it off. And I mean, it's got to be a bit of a weird situation for both sides, knowing that Vettel is going to be leaving at the end of the year, but still, I mean, he's got a job to do. He's a pro, and And I just couldn't see it, being any other way at the moment. But, it is pro sports, and there's a lot at stake, and things could change, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. Just have to keep an eye on it. Also, just before I go here, apparently Turkey and Jerez in Spain are also in contention for possible 2020 slots before the end of the year. So, as we've talked about a number of times, so we have 13 races confirmed for this year. So it means that the Turkish Grand Prix could possibly get back on the F1 calendar for the first time in almost a decade. Last time they raced in Turkey was 2011. and they could get a spot towards the end of November. So Jerez, they haven't raced there since 1997, so that you know, they're still considering that, and that would be another a race that could help bolster the calendar. So we have a one week break here. We go to the Belgian Grand Prix, and that is going to be on the 28th of August. That's 11 days from now. Followed up the week after by the Italian Grand Prix at Monza, and then we're going to Mugello for the Tuscany Grand Prix. And then you get to the bit of the shaken up calendar after that. I mean, Belgium and Monza pretty much in the places we really usually see them. Then Tuscany, obviously that's a new one. The Eifel GP at the Nürburgring, that is at the beginning, second week in October. And then we have Portimão in Portugal at third week of October. And then go have Imola, a Halloween weekend, the 31st of October. So it's all going to be really weird. So we'll see whether or not Turkey and Jerez get thrown into the calendar, but certainly one to keep an eye on. And I would expect at some point we'll get Bahrain confirmed, but we'll just have to stay tuned. I mean, it is really amazing that they've been able to do what they've been doing. You know, if they can get a couple more of these races and get between that 15 and 18 race total, which they've been aiming for all this time. I mean, they were even saying a couple of weeks ago that that perhaps Malaysia and even Vietnam were still possibilities this year. So still a lot to be decided, and certainly I'll be keeping an eye on it, as I'm sure all of you will be doing as well. And that's it. That's all the time I got for this this race report, this wrap-up for the Spanish Grand Prix. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. We'll be back with the regular weekly show in a couple of days towards the end of the week. And until then, happy Monday, and have a great week. Talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.